राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा मा कुंज बिहार ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन। ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन। ब्रज जन
जय गौरनिता।
वल्लभ राधा वल्लभ श्री राधे जय जय राधे जय राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे
जय राधे जय राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे
जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
जय
प्रेम सकह श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 4 सती क्विट्स हर बॉडी वर्स कर्णोपिधाय निरयद्यद कल्पयिषे धर्मा वितारी अश्रृणभिर्नृभिरस्य माने चिन्द्यात् प्रसह्या रुषतिं मसतिं प्रभुश्चेज् जिह्वं असूनपि ततो विसृजेत् स धर्मा कर्णौ बोथ इयर्स पिधाया ब्लॉकिंग निरयत वन शुड गो अवे यत इफ अकल्पा अनेबल ईशे द मास्टर धर्मावितारी द कंट्रोलर ऑफ रिलीजन अस्त्रिनिभिः बाय इर्रेस्पॉन्सिबल नृणिभिः persons asya mane being blasphemed chindyat we should cut prasahya by force rishatim vilifying asatim of the blasphemer prabhu one is able chet if jihvam tongue asun his own life api certainly tataha then visrijet should give up saha that dharmaha is the process translation sati continued if one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and controller of religion one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemous tongue and kill the offender. And after that, one should give up his own life. So, translation with repetition. Sati continued.
If
one hears an irresponsible person,
blaspheme
the master and controller of religion,
one should block his ears and go away
if unable to punish him. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force
cut out the blasphemous tongue and kill the offender.
And
after that one should give up his own life. Purport. The argument offered by Sati is that a person who vilifies a great personality is the lowest of all creatures. But by the same argument, Daksha could also defend himself by saying that since he was Prajapati, the master of many living creatures, and one of the great officers of the great universal affairs, his position was so exalted that Sati should accept his good qualities instead of vilifying him. The answer to that argument is that Sati was not vilifying but defending. If possible, she should have cut out Daksha's tongue because he blasphemed Lord Shiva. In other words, since Lord Shiva is the protector of religion, a person who vilifies him should be killed at once. And after killing such a person, one should give up one's life. That is the process. But because Daksha happened to be the father of Sati, she decided not to kill him but to give up her own life in order to compensate for the great sin she had committed by hearing blasphemy of Lord Shiva. The instruction set forth here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should not tolerate at any cost the activities of the person who vilifies or blasphemes an authority. If one is a Brahmana, he should not give up his body because by doing so, he would be responsible for killing a Brahmana. Therefore, a Brahmana should leave the place or block his ears so that he will not hear the blasphemy. If one happens to be a Kshatriya, he has the power to punish any man. Therefore, a Kshatriya should at once cut the tongue of the vilifier and kill him. But as far as the Vaishyas and Shudras are concerned, they should immediately give up their bodies. Sati decided to give up her body because she thought herself to be among the Shudras and Vaishyas. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudra. Women laborers and the laborers and the mercantile class are on the same level. Thus, since it is recommended that Vaishyas and Shudras should immediately give up their bodies upon hearing blasphemy of an exalted person like Lord Shiva, she decided to give up her life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurinmilitam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamidhiriyat Nashtaprayesh Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Pyevecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadara, Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this pastime, the very first chapter of the fourth canto was genealogical table of the daughters of Manu. And then the second chapter of the same canto is said that Daksha curses Lord Shiva. The first thing we need to understand is the greatness and exalted position of Lord Shiva. Who was he? And so it is said that Shiva means all auspiciousness. All auspicious. Shiva means all auspicious. And here it is said that Lord Shiva is known as Charachara Guru. So, Charachara Guru means the spiritual master of all animate and inanimate objects. So, Shiva is also known as Charachara Guru because he is the spiritual master of all animate and inanimate objects. And he is also called Nirvairam, one who has no enemies at all. He has no enmity with anybody. So he is also called Nirvairam. And then Shanta Vigraha. So his personality is such that he is very, very peaceful. Very sober, very peaceful, very gentle. So that is called Shanta Vigraha. He is a very peaceful personality. And not only that, he was also Atmaramam. Atmaramam means he is always satisfied within himself. So these are the qualities of Lord Shiva. So he Atma Ramam and he is also called Jagatah Daivatam. He is the demigods of the entire universe. He is the greatest among the demigods of the entire universe. So, and he is Mahat, means he is also very great. So, Lord Shiva, being so great personality, and also it is also said that Nimnam Gamam Yatha Ganga Devanam Achito Yatha Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu Puranam Idam Tatha Purananam Idam Tatha. Just as Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, Lord Achyuta is the supreme among deities. Just as Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. It is also said that the Lord himself enunciated the process of religion and the religious principles through the process of disciplic succession. So how to understand this disciplic succession through the 12 Mahajans? So one of the greatest, all these 12 Mahajans are very nicely said in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is said, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu, Prahallado Janako Bhishmo, Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam. Yamaraj is telling that who are these 12 religions from 12 Mahajans from whom we learn the religious principles which was enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Swayambhur means, who is Swayambhur?
Lord Brahma,
because he was self-born. Swayambhur means Lord Brahma. And then Narada, we know, right? The great sage Narada. And Shambhu, who is Shambhu? Lord Shiva. He is one of the great Mahajans. And then Kumara. Kumara means 4 Kumaras. And then Kapilo, Lord Kapila Dev. And then who is the son of Devahuti? And Manu is Swayambhuva Manu. And Prahalado, Prahalad Maharaj. And then Janako, Janaka Maharaj, who was the father of Sita Devi. And then Bhishma, Bhishma Pitamaha. And then Balir. Balir is Bali Maharaj. And who is Vayasaki? Sukadeva Goswami. And Vayam, and I myself. So these are the great Mahajans from whom we learn the religious principles through disciplic succession. And then this is what this 12 Mahajans. So Lord Shiva is one of the greatest Mahajans. And also it is said in Brahma Samhita that Kshiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate nahitaga prathagasti heto yas sambutam api tatha samapaiti karyat govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So the Lord, he is the same at this and different. Like, you know, just as milk after becomes curd, it is this milk at the same time it is also the curd. So like that, the Lord Shiva, when he comes into this material, he is a part of him is in the material world, in part in the spiritual world. And he is not like a jiva tattva. Like Brahma is a jiva tattva, but Lord Shiva cannot be jiva tattva. So Lord Shiva is gunavatara. Like there are 3 gunavataras. Brahma is the creator, and then Lord Vishnu is the maintainer, and then Lord Shiva is the destroyer. So he is also one of the gunavataras. And he is very, very compassionate by nature. Lord Shiva is very, very compassionate by nature. In the creation of the Lord, there are different kinds of living entities in 3 modes of material nature. And Lord Shiva is in charge of, who are advanced, Lord Vishnu takes charge of the persons who are in the mode of goodness and who are advanced Vaishnavas in Krishna consciousness. And whereas Lord Brahma takes charge of the living entities who are very, very materialistic. And Lord Shiva is so kind that he takes charge of persons who are in gross ignorance and whose behavior is lower than that of animals. So therefore Lord Shiva is especially called very auspicious, because He is very, very merciful to deliver the lowest of the mankind, like the ghost spirits, because of his compassionate nature, by his association, he gives his association so that they are also advanced like that. And then in the second chapter of this canto, it begins like there are three questions. So Srimad Bhagavatam is full of questions and answers. So there's a question asked and then the answer comes. So like that, in the very first three verses of the second chapter of the fourth canto, Vidura inquires from Maitreya Muni. What does he inquire? Why was Daksha, who was so affectionate toward his daughter? This Sati, she was very, very affectionate to her father. Daksha, who was very affectionate toward his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the gentle. Why did he neglect his daughter Sati? So that is the question he is asking. What is the question he is asking? First we have to understand what the question is. So why was Daksha, who was so affectionate toward his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter Sati? Then the next question he is asking is, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the entire world, just now we read, he is the Charachara Guru of the entire world, is free from enmity. So he is Nirvairam, he has no enemies. And also he is a peaceful personality, Shanta Vigraha, he is very peaceful. And then Shanta Vigraha, being very, very peaceful personality, free from enmity, is peaceful personality and is always satisfied within himself. He is Atma Ramam. He is the greatest among the demigods. Devana, he is the greatest. How is it possible that Daksha could be inimical towards such an auspicious personality? Lord Shiva is full of auspicious qualities. How come to such a great personality Daksha could be very envious of such an auspicious, inimical towards such an auspicious personality? That is the question asked. And another question he asks is, my dear Maitreya, to part from one's life is very, very difficult. Who would like to part? Because the life is dear to everyone. Who would like to part with one's life? To part with one's life is very difficult. Would you kindly explain to me how such a son-in-law and father-in-law could quarrel so bitterly that the great goddess Sati could give up her life? So to part with one's life is very, very difficult. So would you kindly explain to me how such a son-in-law and father-in-law could quarrel so bitterly the great goddess Sati could give up her life? So this is the question the Vidura asks Maitreya. And then Maitreya begins to answer how in the beginning, what happened, when all the universal people, they assemble, they perform a great sacrifices. At that time, what happened in that assemblage, Daksha entered the arena. When he entered, he was very effulgent, bright as the sun. So everybody except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva stood up and gave a good reception to Daksha. And then Lord Brahma, being very respectful to Daksha, gave him a seat. And before he sat, Daksha observed that Lord Shiva did not get up from his seat. And he felt very much offended by that. And he started to tell all these different things, that Lord Shiva doesn't know how to behave, he is shameless, he doesn't know how to respect the universal head, like the Prajapati's universal heads of the universe, how he had to respect, he doesn't know. So he started to talk all these things. And he said that he lives in place where crematoriums are there, and then he puts ashes from the crematorium and he decorates his body with the skulls. He wears a garland of skulls. He's very dirty. He started to talk all these ill things. And then he also said that I have given my dear most daughter to him, and just by listening to the by the order of Brahma, I have given my most chaste daughter to Lord Shiva in marriage. And also he says that Lord Shiva is like, his eyes are like monkey, whereas my daughter's eyes are like the deer cub, like that. So all these things, he will talk all these things, and then he will curse Lord Shiva, saying that in the sacrifice, all the oblations, the demigods will get all the oblations, they will get, they'll become beneficiaries of all the oblations, whereas for Lord Shiva, he will not get anything of the in the share. Actually, that is actually for Lord Shiva, it is a benediction actually, because the demigods, they are very materialistic, they sit and, enjoy all these things, but Lord Shiva, actually for him it is a benediction, because he doesn't want to associate with, and nor is he interested to get any such things. So he went on blaspheming like this, and then finally he cursed. And then on the other side, Nandishwara, who was not on the other side, he was the follower of Lord Shiva. When he heard Daksha cursing Lord Shiva, then he was very much offended. Then he also started to talk about these people, that they are like, you know, they are following all these ritualistic things, which has no this thing. Then they don't know the, all the Vedas they are following is so fruitive, there is no use. And then there was, then he started to curse that all the followers of Daksha will be bereft of transcendental knowledge, and they'll be on the material plane only. And hearing this, on the other side, the followers of Daksha, who were headed by Bhrigu, and they also felt very much offended by the this Nandishwara's cursing, and they also started to say that all the followers of Lord Shiva are atheistic. So it means they are all like, you know, they are very dirty, they are like associating with all the people who are intoxicated, all these things. And then they also counter curse, saying that all the followers of Lord Shiva are atheistic, and they do not follow anything. So this cursing and counter cursing is going on. And and finally, the Lord Shiva sitting there, he felt not good, he was very morose, actually, even Daksha also, after cursing Shiva, he went away, he left the place. And also Lord Shiva, hearing all this cursing and counter cursing, he did not feel good at all, and he felt very morose, and he went away from the assembly. And the next chapter begins with the third chapter, then how the, again Daksha began another sacrifice called Vajipeya, and in that he invited all the demigods, sages from all over the universe. He made an elaborate arrangement for that sacrifice. He invited everybody, but he did not invite Lord Shiva and his wife. So, like, everybody were getting ready, dressed very well, and Sati was seeing in the airplanes, everybody dressed beautifully and very gorgeously, very happily dressed in gorgeous garments, and they were all getting ready to go to the sacrifice. And she felt very bad that she is not able to go. Then at some point she asked Shiva that, can I also go? Because it's in my father's house, how can I stay without going? Like, you know, when everybody is going, I really want to go and see what is happening. So then she said that one can go to father's house, the sister and friend's house, without being invited. We don't have to be invited. So what is wrong in going like that? Then Lord Shiva said that, of course, definitely we can go to a place where you are not invited, as long as they don't blaspheme the guest. But in this case, it is not like that. So if you go there, you will be fully unhappy. Like, you know, because you have married me, so they will respect you, and you will feel very bad that you are having relationship with me, that I am your husband because of that. So he wants Sati that if you go there, all these repercussions will be there. And then Daksha, being very much puffed up by all this high parentage, being opulent and all, he's very much puffed up. And what is the meaning of Daksha means? One who is very expert. So being is very... being the greatest Prajapati, he's very much puffed up because of his high parentage, being very opulent, being very rich, beautiful, all these things. So all these things, we become intoxicated. Like also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, Janma Ishwarya Srita Sribhir Edamana Madha Puman Naivarhatya Bhidatam Vaitvamma Kinchana Gocharam. So all these things, one becomes so much puffed up. So that is why this Daksha, because he is very much in identification with the body, he doesn't know how to. Then he says that actually Lord Shiva did not get up because he was meditating on Lord Vasudeva. So Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. So the Lord Shiva, not that he purposely did not stand up, because he was completely meditating on Lord Vishnu. So that is why he did not get up. So, but Daksha, because he was so materially inclined, he was like looking at this great personality in a bodily concept of life, that he is not being, he did not get respect from him. So in this regard, that how in the Vedic system, this good reception is very, very important. When somebody comes, when that reception and respect is not properly given, they feel very much offended. In that, there are few examples we can discuss. Like once what happened, this Suta Goswami's father, who was Romaharshana Suta, he was sitting on a Vyasasan in the place called Naimisharanya. At that time what happened, he was speaking Bhagavatam to all the sages. At that time, Lord Balaram arrived there. Actually, one who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't have to actually get up. But in this case, the guest was Lord Balaram. So he did not get up from his seat. So Lord Balaram got very angry, and then he wanted to kill Romaharshana Suta. He did kill actually with the Kushagras. He killed him with the Kushagras. Then again, actually, if willing, he wanted to bring back the life of Romaharshana Suta. But all the sages there, they assembled, they said that instead of bringing back Romaharshana Suta, you bless his son, Suta Goswami, so that he can be a wonderful, excellent speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Suta Goswami got all blessings from Lord Balaram, and then he was also blessed to live long life so that he could speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So he got this blessings of not only Lord Balaram and of all the sages, they were assembled there. So this is how in the Vedic system, the reception is very, very important, how you speak. And even the pastimes of Parikshit Maharaj, when he was so much thirsty, like he went for a hunting, and like we all know that how Kalipurusha was sitting at the crown, and he started to act very differently. So he was, when he was very thirsty, he went to the hermitage of this Samika Muni. He was sitting there and he was in deep meditation in Samadhi. When he arrived there and he was feeling very much thirsty, it was so hot, he was asking, is there anyone who can give me water? And so thirsty, is there anyone who can give me water? He was asking, but because the Samika Muni is deep in trance, he did not respond to that, and he got angry and he took a snake and garlanded the Samika Muni. So like that, in that pastime, it is written that anybody who comes, these three things are very, very important. These three etiquettes to be followed is very, very important. What are these three things one has to follow? When somebody comes, we have to give them a good reception. Give good smile and give them a good reception. Give them a place to sit. Then what we have to do? We have to offer them water. And then very, very important is we have to speak sweet words to them. So these three things are very, very important. Otherwise, whoever comes, they feel very offended. Especially when the great personalities, when they come, they feel very offended. So like that, these three things following is very, very important. So when we don't follow these three things, then we are not giving good reception to the guest. So also in the pastimes of Gajendra Moksha, Indradimna Maharaj, he was actually in a deep trance. At that time, this Agastya Muni came, and he did not even know that he came. Same story like Parikshit Maharaj, when he came, Samika Muni was in deep meditation. And even Indradimna Maharaj, when he was also meditating, that time Agastya Muni came, because he was not properly received, he was cursed to become, you are very proud of your opulence, and you are very of this opulence and prestige, you are, because you are a great king. Now I shall curse you to become get a dull, dumb body of an elephant. So he was cursed. So like that, in the very, very important that how we receive a guest, is very, very important. So, these three, and also we read in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when King Indra was sitting in the heavenly planets on his throne, that time Brihaspati came, who was his spiritual master. And Indra did not get up from his seat and give a good reception. Brihaspati felt very offended and he walked out. And all those pastimes they pour, and because of this one mistake of Indra, he'll fall into the series of problems. All these pastimes will unravel after that. So like that, so this reception in the Vedic times is very, very important. And then this Sati, she happened to go to, even though Lord Shiva warned her, do not go there, you will not be happy, you will not be given good reception, and you will feel very, very bad that because you are connected to me, you are not getting this good reception. So all these things, Lord Shiva, he warns her. And also, actually what happens, Lord Shiva is much in exalted position, because Daksha thinks that he has accepted the subordinate position of being the son-in-law. He thinks that Lord Shiva has to respect Daksha. But still, his position will not be diminished, because he became the son-in-law of Daksha. Still, he is the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. So, Daksha underestimated, like he saw with a materialistic point of view, that because he has become my son-in-law, he has become subordinate. So like that, he took a material calculation and he offended Lord Shiva, which is very... So again, coming back to this chapter, however, Sati was very much in dilemma whether to go or not, and finally she decided to go. And then when she decided to go, she walked out, and all the followers of Lord Shiva, they put her on a nice... It was a big procession. They took her in a big procession, and then she arrived at the father's house. When she arrived at the father's house, everybody, the brahmanas, the sages, they were all like, you know, they actually wanted to respect Sati, but because they were afraid of Daksha, they did not receive her properly. They did not get up or do anything. And Daksha, even though like her sister, Sati's sister's mother, they all came out and gave a very good reception with a good smiling, and they were very, very happy, and they welcomed her very nicely. But whereas Daksha, he did not even see her, he did not even talk to her. So Sati, she felt very much offended, and she starts to tell all these things to the blessed goddess said, Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him, and no one is his enemy. And it's also she also says that Lord Shiva is so good, like even if people are very this thing, but still he will see good qualities in people. Whatever little bit good qualities are there in people, he will see and he will magnify that. To such a great personality, you have offended, like she says here, that you are simply finding fault in the qualities of other. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. So then she says that it is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. Sati continued, my dear father, you are committing the greatest offense by envying Lord Shiva, whose very name, consisting of two syllables, Shi and Va, purifies one of all sinful activities. His order is never neglected. Lord Shiva is always pure, and no one but you envies him. So like that she went, you are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds. For the common man, he fulfills all desires, and because of their engagement in thinking of his lotus feet, he also blesses his higher personalities who are seeking after Brahmananda. Then yesterday's verse was, Do you think that greater, more respectable persons than who? Such as Brahma. Even Lord Brahma, he worships. Lord Shiva, the flowers offered to his lotus feet, he puts on his head. So like that, even great personalities like Lord Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads. Then she's, today's verse, she's saying that, Sati continued, if one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and controller of religion, one should block his ears and go away if unable to. So how one has to, like, you know, how one has to act when they hear the blasphemy of a devotee. That is described in this verse. If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and control, and this especially Lord Shiva is the controller of religion, one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But if one is unable to, if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemous tongue. So how a Brahmana should react and how a Kshatriya should react, how a Shudras and Vaishya should react, that is what is said in this chapter, in this purport. It is said that a Brahmana, if one is a Brahmana, he should not give up his body because by doing so, he would be responsible for killing a Brahmana. So what he should do? Therefore, a Brahmana should leave the place or block his ears. If a Brahmana, he hears a blasphemy, either he should leave the place or he has to block his ears. So this is what for Brahmana. And Brahmana should not give up his life, because if he gives up his life, then it is as good as he is killing a Brahmana. So for different varnas, there is a different ways one has to react when they hear the blasphemy of the Lord. Like many a times, even the Lord himself, if people blaspheme him, he doesn't take it so serious. But if a devotee, if somebody blasphemes his devotee, he cannot tolerate. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when this Jagai and Madai, they attacked Nityananda, immediately Lord Chaitanya came with Sudarshan Chakra and wanted to kill this Jagai and Madai. But Lord Nityananda said that, no, your actual advent is to kill the, your patita pavana, to kill the demoniac mentality in people. But Krishna was the one who could kill the paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya dushkritam, dharma samsthapana arthaya sambhavami. But your advent is to kill the demoniac. So he went in between. So Jagai Madai were actually delivered. Of course, later on they became devotees. Because Nityananda was so merciful, so they, by seeing, look how much we offended and we tried to even hurt him, but still he is so merciful that he is like, you know, he has saved us. So that means that quality of Nityananda made Jagai Madai change their heart and they surrendered and became the devotees. So like that. So if the Lord, when he is, people talk, blaspheme him, he would not take so seriously. But if somebody blasphemes his devotees, he cannot tolerate. Even the story of Ambarish Maharaj, how Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj was a great devotee. We all know that he is a perfect example of all the 9 processes of devotional service. Like for every Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, for every Anga of Bhakti, there is one devotee example. But Ambarish Maharaj was an example for all the 9 processes of devotional service. He is called Matpara devotee. So like that, Ambarish Maharaj followed all the, like, you know, he used his eyes and every anga of bhakti in the Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Rittama. So he engaged all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. So like that, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he worshipped the deities and he followed the Ekadasi for, along with his chaste wife. He followed the Ekadasi Vrata, everything perfectly, and he invited all the Brahmanas, fed them sumptuously, gave them generously 60 crores of cows, and very, very nice at that point in time. After feeding all the Dwadasi arrived and he fed all the Brahmanas, gave all these charities, and the time for breaking that, it was time for him to break that Ekadasi Vrata, that moment Durvasa Muni came as an uninvited guest, and then he invited him and he gave him very good reception, and he sat at the feet of Durvasamani, and he said, could you please accept now, eat prasadam? Then he said, no, I have to do a few more things, ritual, things are there, I have to go to Yamuna and perform the ceremonies and then come. By that time, then he goes to Yamuna river and performs the... So in the meantime, that moment came which they had to break. So he didn't know, he was very much confused. He took advice from the Brahmanas whether he should break the fast or what he should do. On one side, he felt that it is not a good etiquette, like when we invite the guests, we cannot eat before we feed the guests. So he was worried about that. On the other side, if he doesn't break the fast, there will be a flaw in the observance of the Ekadasi Vrata. He was very much concerned. So then he took the advice of Brahmanas and then he drank water. So that drinking water is considered breaking the fast at the same time, also maintaining the still eating and not eating both. So like that he did. And at that particular time, Durvasa Muni he arrived. And then he invited him, gave good reception. Then he said, prasadam. Then he said that, then by his mystic power, he knew that Ambarish Maharaj had broken the fast by drinking water. Then he felt that how, then he started to blaspheme Ambarish Maharaj, saying that you are very proud of your opulence and you don't know how to respect. You have invited the guest and before you fed the guest, you have eaten. So you have offended me like this. And he took a bunch of air and created a demon. And the fiery demon came with trident and shaking, trembling, everything. And he came to kill the Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was given, like the Lord gave, because he was a very good devotee of the Lord, he was given this Sudarshan Chakra. And the Lord, then that demon was completely annihilated. So like that, Ambarish Maharaj was demon could not do anything. And the Lord, then finally what happened, the Sudarshan Chakra started to follow this Durvasa Muni everywhere. And he was seeing at the back and is falling in a great speed. And Durvasa Muni began to run all over the place. First he went to Brahmaloka. First he went to this Sumeru mountain. Then from there went to Brahmaloka. Brahma said, I can't do anything. Please save me. Like, you know, I've come under your shelter. Please save me. Brahma said, I can't do anything. Then he went and he thought, let me go to Lord Shiva, Kailash. Then Lord Shiva also said that, the Lord is everything, we cannot do everything. I think you should go to the Lord and take shelter of the Lord. And then Lord said that, I cannot do anything. I cannot help you at all. Then he says this very nice verses. Aham bhakta paradhino hyaswatantra ivadbija sadhubir grashta hrudayo bhakter bhakta janapriyaha. The Lord says that, I am completely under the control of my pure devotees. I am not at all independent. I am completely under the control of my devotees. I am not at all independent. Why am I under the control of my devotees? Because my devotees are completely free from the, within the core of their heart, there is no material desires whatsoever. My devotees are completely devoid of material desires. And I sit within the core of their hearts. And what to speak of my devotee? And I am the, even those who are devotees of my devotees, even those who are devotees of my devotee are also very, very dear to me. The Lord says that. And he also says that, Sadavo hrudayam mahyam, sadhu naam hrudayam tvaham, madanya tena jananti, naham tebyo managapi. He says that, the pure devotees are always within the core of my heart, and I am within the core of their heart. I do not know anything other than them, and they do not know anything other than me, and I do not know anything other than them. So the Lord reciprocates, like, because Ambarish Maharaj was so pure devotee of the Lord said that by the devotion of this Ambarish Maharaj, I am completely under the control of my devotee. I am not at all independent. The Lord is telling. So the Lord, he said that, I cannot do anything. If you really want to say yourself, then you go back to Ambarish Maharaj and fall at his feet and ask for forgiveness. Then in that part of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that this learning and education, all these things are very good assets. But if one is not gentle, those assets can be very dangerous. Even Daksha also, he was very, very puffed up of his opulence And all this, because he was a great Prajapati, chief Prajapati, he was very opulent and he was, so he was became very puffed up. So that is why in that puffed up, they become so like, they lose their good sense also. And they become puffed up and they become blind. And they start blaspheming these great personalities like Lord Shiva. So that is, then all these pastimes are there like, that is one of the examples how, that is one of the examples, and there are other examples as well, like how one becomes offended. And also why Lord Narasimhadeva actually appeared. Because Hiranyakashipu went on torturing Prahalad Maharaj, was the pure unalloyed devotee of the Lord. He went on torturing him so many ways, he was trying to kill him. And he was so much doing Vaishnava Aparad, so such a pure devotee of the Lord. Lord Narasimhadeva himself came to kill Prahalad Maharaj. Sorry, to kill Hiranyakashipu. So like that, so the main purpose of Lord Narasimhadeva's appearance is to kill this demon. Hiranyakashipu was constantly torturing this pure devotee of the Lord. So that is why here it is said that, coming back to like Brahmana should leave that place or close his ears. And the Vaishyas, and next the Kshatriyas, what they have to do, they can kill. They had first cut the tongue of the blasphemer, vilifier, and also they can even kill. And after killing, they also kill themselves. And also the Sati, she could not do this, but she was put under the category of, in Krishna says that women's Vaishya Shudras, they are all come under the category. And naturally Sati did not want to kill her own father, because he was her father. But instead, what did she do? She killed herself. And because she killed herself, because she got the body from Daksha, that is why she did not want to keep that body of a person who has blasphemed this Vaishnava. And she, because she heard this Daksha completely blaspheming the Lord Shiva, she did not want to maintain herself. She killed herself. So that is the that's where this pastime, today's verse ends. And she put herself, and then exalted like Lord Shiva, she decided to give up her life. So thank you all very much. So here I stop. Anybody has any questions, if I can answer, otherwise senior devotees are here.
So, how do we apply that in our modern contemporary world?
How do you apply
these instructions? Where is it practical application?
Practical application of this.
Brahmanas, the application of Brahmana maybe is practical, but the application of.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean that first Brahmana dust is very like leaving away or either close the ears, and killing, vilifying, that is very challenging. So especially here in this country, if you kill somebody, I heard recently that if somebody comes and for example, if somebody comes to our house, like a thief or somebody, they come, like, you know, if we kill them, I believe they will put us in jail. How absurd is it? Then how can we defend ourselves? Like, you know, then they can tell and we can be like, you know, punished. This country's laws are... So it's very hard, this, yeah, killing or leaving. And both of them are hard, like killing a person is hard, nor we ourselves killing is also both that Kshatriyas is also hard and Shudras is also hard. Let us and... That was possible in those things, but in this day and age, very hard.
I think we only have option is first option. Second and third option probably.
Very And even those days, like even the sati also, like, you know, the husband would die, they would die. So like very many ladies in the, like, they were so chaste and they didn't want to maintain. They felt that after the husband dies, if they still live, then, you know, they are enjoying that sort of thing. Then they used to sacrifice their own life. But now it's totally abominable. You know, nobody will do that. So this all applies in those. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.